Wills walked the empty corridors of hell, looking for the code. He walked these same corridors every day, all day, searching, thinking that there had to be some place he had overlooked, and that on this day he would find it. But he never did, and he knew in his heart that he never would. It was over, for all of them, in more ways than one. The others were already a long time dead. The entire command, wiped out by whatever virus had wormed its way in, sliding down through the air vents past the filters and cleaners and medico screens and whatever other safeguards the builders had installed all those years ago. They hadn't all died at once, of course. 8 of them had, and that was now more than 2 years ago. At least, that's how long he thought it had been. Time was uncertain. The rest had died one by one, some sickening right away, others staying healthy and providing false hope that a few might survive. But none of them had. Only him. He had no idea why. He had no sense of being different from the others, but obviously he was. Some small genetic trait, some antibody peculiar to him. Or maybe he was mistaken, and it was just plain old luck. He was alive. They were dead. No sense to any of it. No prize awarded to the last man standing. Just a mystery without a solution. Abramson and Perlow had been the last to go, if you didn't count Major, whatever her name was. Anders, Andrews, something like that. He couldn't remember anymore. Anyway, there was never much hope for her. She got sick and stayed sick. By the time she died, she had already been dead for weeks in every way that mattered. Her brain fried, memory emptied, mouth drooling. Just lying on the floor making weird sounds and staring at them. Just gibbering about nothing, her eyes wide and rolling, her face all twisted. He would have put a stop to it if he could have made himself do so. But he couldn't. It took Perlow to do that. Perlow hadn't harbored the same reservations he had. He hadn't liked her anyway, he told them. Even when she hadn't been sick, when she was normal, she was irritating. So it was easy, putting the gun to her head and pulling the trigger. She probably would have thanked him if she could have, he said afterward. 2 weeks later, Perlow was dead too, shot with the same gun. He'd decided he couldn't stand the waiting and pulled the trigger a second time. Left the gun with an almost full clip for the other two, an unspoken suggestion that they might be wise to follow him. They hadn't taken the hint. Abramson had lasted almost 7 months longer, and he and Wills made a good pair in that short time. They were both Midwestern boys, married young, gone into the service of their country, officer training, fast-track to promotion, full of patriotic duty and a sense of pride in wearing the uniform. Both had been pilots before assuming command positions. All that was dead and gone, but they liked talking about how it had been when things were better. They liked remembering because it made them feel that even though things had turned out the way they had, there had been a reason for sticking with it, a purpose to their lives. It was hard for Wills to remember what that purpose was now. Once Abramson was gone, there had been no one to discuss it with. And over time, the nature of the reason had eroded in the silence of the complex. Sometimes he sang or talked to himself, but that wasn't the same as having someone else there. Rather, it made him think of all the stories of prisoners who went slowly mad in solitary confinement, left alone with themselves and the sound of their own voice for too many months, or too many years. It would be years for him if nothing changed, if he didn't find anyone. If no one came. Major Adam Wills. That was who he had been, who the military would say he still was, serving his country deep in the bowels of the earth, a quarter mile underground beneath tons of rock and steel-reinforced concrete, somewhere in the middle of the Rocky Mountains, where he had been now for 5 long years, waiting. He thought about that word, waiting. He stopped walking and stood in the center of one of the endless corridors and thought about it. Waiting. For what? It seemed to change with the passing of time. At first, he had been waiting for the wars to be over. Then he had been waiting for someone to come to relieve those on duty in the missile command center who were left alive. Then he had been waiting to be let out, because he couldn't get out if someone in authority, someone who could tell him it was time to leave, didn't key the locks to the elevators from the surface. For a long time after he knew that there might be no one left in authority, he had simply been waiting for his transmitter signals to raise a response from any source. He no longer used a secure code. He simply opened all channels and broadcast Mayday. He knew what was happening above ground. The cameras told him much of the story. A bleak, barren countryside. A few wandering bands of what appeared to be raiders. A handful of creatures he had never seen before and hoped never to see again. And endless days of sunshine and no rain. Colorado had always been dry, but never like this. It had to rain sooner or later, he kept telling himself. Didn't it? Waiting for it to rain.